It's 3 o'clock.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive, 95.7 The Fan. And you can hear the first game of the year right here on 95.7 The Fan. And with that coming up, let's go on out to Reliant Stadium and hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he's speaking to the media.
With this being our first game, anything goes. Any looks, any type of schemes, anything can come up. So for that reason, I don't put any, I don't put a lot of weight into the games that we played prior. Also, with this team, new head coach, right, new defensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator, there will be a ton of different looks that we've had in the past 2 years. So just to say, oh, what we did the past 2 years is what's worked. Rinse and repeat, that's not it, right? We got to be prepared and ready for anything. We got to trust our rules, trust what we've done during training camp, trust our training, and put the ball down, let's go to work.
What does Ed Oliver bring to their defense? He hasn't played the previous two times you guys have matched up.
Ed's a, man, really disruptive player, right? He's done it for a while, very disruptive. He can wreck a game by playing, you know, violent in the backfield, making plays sideline to sideline. Ed's a really good player. He's been a good player for a long time. So, a guy we have to put a hat on every single time.
You had a lot of good things to say about Montgomery in training camp. How eager are you to see him play for your team in a real game?
I'm very eager to see Montgomery, you know, get out there for the first time, you know, behind his offensive line. He's done a great job of leading, you know, inspiring guys, and just the way he works, the way he carries himself. It's been a pleasure to work with him. So I'm excited to see him finally get in some real action with our guys, and I know he'll be fun to watch.
How different has been for you and your staff preparing to start the season at home instead of going on the road like it has happened the last couple of years?
Preparation is preparation. So whether we're home or away, it's good to have a home game to start the season. First time for me being here, starting the season at home. But, hey, we got to go play good football. And we're excited to be in front of our home fans for the first time, opening up for our 2026 Texans to showcase what we're all about against a really good opponent. It's going to be a great matchup. Obviously, you guys get ready for a really good football game. They're a really good team. They're coached well. They'll be prepared. Our team's good team. We're prepared. So, I mean, you got to love it. NFL is back. We got a great matchup to start the year. Man, let's get it.
How do you grade the margin of error coming into the first game?
With the first game, you just have to be dialed in on the fundamentals, right? Protecting the football. That's the main thing for me. We have to make sure we protect the football really well. Tackling is always an issue. Can be an issue the first game. You got to make sure, you know, you're putting guys on the ground, finishing. Some of our guys haven't had live tackling reps, so we just have to make sure we're secure in our tackling, make sure it's not just one guy trying to make it, but we're all running to the football. But it's just – you got to make sure you play clean in that first game, right? The team that plays the cleanest, right? The team that doesn't makes the most mistakes. You don't beat yourself, right? This one, you have an opportunity to win this game.
What are you seeing from Kalen Bullock from now to when y'all first brought him in?
Kalen has really grown from a communication standpoint. Like, I mean, he does a great job of talking, getting everybody on the same page in the back end. Because we ask a lot of those guys, and Kalen has – you know, taking that by the horn, doing a really good job of making sure everybody's dialed in together. And it's just his confidence is at an all-time high, and I'm excited to see him go play, right? Everybody knows his range has been great. He's improved every year, improved his tackling from year one to year two. We know the ball hawk that he is, and I'm excited to see this kid go and have a great year.
When it comes to your defensive philosophy, how important is it to you not overcomplicate things and so you guys can play fast and not be thinking out there?
It's football, baby. You don't overcomplicate it. You put the ball down, you make sure our guys are confident, right? We tell our defensive guys, we got a lot of film that we've watched, but they can do anything, right? But we just trust each other, go out there, play fast. It doesn't, you know, for us, we don't have to do a ton. We just have to do what we do and do it well. And that's my philosophy. That's what I believe in. And just making sure our guys are on the detail, eliminating the explosive plays. Buffalo was, I think, top two in explosive plays last year. So for them, adding DJ Moore, getting that explosive threat downfield, we know that's going to be an emphasis of theirs this year. We just got to make a play when the ball is up in the air. We got to find a way to make a play. And we got to, as we all know, get after, you know, the quarterback as best we can. He's a great player. We have great rushers. It's going to be a really good matchup.
What have you seen from Jalen Knowles since he's been able to get back on the field and how much growth in that?
And from Jalen, I've seen that confidence start to continue to build. Just him getting out there. He's missed some time, unfortunately, with injury, but just seeing him be out there, stay out there, that's allowed him to just gain, you know, some better confidence with the offense. So he's looking good. It's looking good as a returner for us as well, expecting him to do big things for us as a returner. So I'm just excited to see him out there, staying out there, and that's why we have to try to keep him there all year.
Jadavion's back at practice. Do you expect him to be full go? And then just for his return to Houston for the first time since 2019, how excited are you for that one?
Jadavion is back at practice. All of our guys are out there working, which is a great thing to start the season, having all the guys available and ready to go. And Jadavion's done a good job. He's worked himself back. He'll be ready to go.
From your perspective, obviously, you know, Josh is one of the best players at creating out of structure and making explosive plays that you pointed to, you know, top two in that particular thing. But from your perspective, you guys have been able to kind of contain that the past couple of times you guys have played him. So what's kind of that balance of, you know, in a sense, forcing him into creation mode, but also knowing that you've had success, but also knowing that that's also his strength, too? What's kind of that balance that you kind of think about going into the game?
And for us, the balance starts with we can't hang our hat on past success. Right? Past success is not going to, you know, automatically guarantee you future success. So we got to go out and we have to earn it. And that's one thing that Josh and his offense is going to make you do. They're going to make you earn every play that you make. And that's how we like it. That's how it should be. And our guys are up for that challenge. We know we have to cover longer than you do versus other quarterbacks. Right? You have to rush a little bit longer. Just knowing it's not going to happen as quick as other teams. It's just got to take time. Guys have to be patient. You have to make sure you're plastering in coverage, being responsible, being where you're supposed to be. When you do that, you have opportunities to make plays. So Josh is a good player. He's going to make some plays. But we have to just find a way to make more than he makes.
You're listening to head coach D'Amico Ryans at his press conference ahead of the Bills game.
Camp and the build-up, or is it just steady day-by-day growth?
What I love about CJ's growth and his progress is he's been steady. He's been consistent. He's continued to grow. Just seeing him grow as a leader, seeing the way he's operating in the offense, like, man, I'm fired up to see him just go play. You know, there's a lot being said about CJ. Man, he's done a great job the past 3 years. We've made the playoffs every year because we've had a talented young quarterback who's led us to the playoffs, right? And I'm thankful to have him as our quarterback. He's done a great job for him. He's taken a huge step this year in growth, and now it's time to go show it.
Yeah, potentially have two young guys that could be starting for you on that offensive line. What is that learning curve for both of those guys in Rutledge and Ursary?
Don't overcomplicate it. Block the man in front of you, be sound in your assignments, communicate the right way, and play physical and aggressive as those guys play. That's it. Those are two good young football players that we're thankful to have on our team. They've done a good job all training camp, and I know that's what they'll do. The lights won't be too big for them. They're going to go out and do what they've done all training camp, be consistent, play physical, and finish the right way.
The other day, Ariante said that one of the main things that him and Keelan discuss is just going out and hitting somebody. That's the physicality part.
I love it. That's one thing I hang my hat on. We're going to play with physicality. That's one thing I believe in, and that's what football is about. You got to play physical. It's a physical game, tough game for tough people. If you're not tough, then this is not the place for you.
You guys added Caden McDonald in the second round to help you all improve the run defense. How do you feel like he's come along?
Caden's come along. He's come along really good. He's improved. Each week, he's gotten better with what we've asked him to do. And, you know, still a young ascending player, but he's done a good job of what we've asked him to do. And, you know, he has more to him than just being a run player. We feel like we have a really good rotation with our defensive tackles. We have some depth there that probably the best depth that we've had since I've been here. So just excited with that group, with them. Different amount of guys we can mix in, have different combinations out there. I think it'll be a really strong part of our defense this year.
Not trying to call you old.
But you just did.
You've been around this game for a long time as a player and as a coach, and the season starts today. Is that kind of weird for you?
No, man. Let's go. Like, it's here. I can't wait to watch it and see what's happening, man. I think this, I don't know, is this year 20 for me in the NFL? But Man, it never gets old. The excitement, the buildup of the season openers, it never gets old. I'm as fired up as all of our fans are fired up about the season opening up on a Wednesday. Hey, let's get rolling.
The Madden Cast promo that you were in, when did you shoot that? And how many takes did it take for you to get
there? I'm a one-take guy. No, that was a fun opportunity for me to shoot the Manning Cast. I'm thankful for those guys allowing me to be a part of that, and you know the other coaches I was able to work with. They do a really great job on the Manning Cast. Known Peyton for a long time for the amount of touchdowns he scored on me. He should let me get a little get back by getting the Manning Cast. But that was a fun deal for me to do, man.
When did you do it? When did you?
That was at the NFL annual meetings. Yeah.
Knowing the last couple of weeks, there have been speeches you gave to the team that have a NASA theme to it.
Yeah.
Is there something you have planned this week coming with week one with another something with NASA involved as well?
For me, it's it started with the NASA build up with NASA being in our backyard here in Houston. Just really wanted to tie the two together, right? Because Houston is about community. Houston is about us being together. So it was thought it was a really good way to correlate us preparing, right, for training camp, getting ready, just like Artemis II, they prepared, they got ready. It took them time, right, for that build-up and for that moment. And now, come Sunday, it's time for the takeoff, and that's the next part of the message, right? How are we taking off on Sunday?
Nick Haley, what do you see from his growth as a play caller, and what do you anticipate from him this year, his second year running the system with the personnel he's got?
For Kaylee, like for anyone, right, the second time doing it, he's much more comfortable with what he's doing. He knows what he wants. He knows how he wanted to look. So just him just having that command, him coaching up his coaches, right, everybody's on the same page. He's doing a great job of communicating and leading the offensive group, coaches and players. So I'm fired. He's fired up. Practice today, he's fired up, barking at guys. So I'm excited to see this Kaylee. He's fired up, I'm fired up.
Some of the guys were talking about how you had them eating lunch with each other, like defense, offense, tight ends, linebackers, whatever. Did you get involved in that at all? Is there anything that you learned special, unique, different about somebody you didn't know?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me in training camp is how do you like force that interaction amongst the players, right? And that was the main thing is getting different. It's easy for the linebackers to always eat together with the linebackers. They meet together. So you just kind of have to force that interaction. And I'm happy our guys, they took it serious when we had our breakout sessions of different groups, eating lunch together, meeting together, just getting to dive in and learn each other a little bit better. I think that was beneficial towards our growth as a team for 2026, and I feel like our guys gained a lot of insight from that.
Hey, Domenico, we talked to Brevin this week, and he said he was so grateful for the opportunity and to be here, and he said that he doesn't really have any expectations on himself. He's just going out to play. That's the kind of latitude you guys have given him. What do you expect from him?
I like to hear that from Brevin. He just go be free, be himself, and just play football, right? Don't put any pressure on himself to achieve anything grand. It's just a matter of Brevin, like, staying out there, being consistent. We know he's missed a lot of time, these past 2 years. And it's been a rough go for him, but it's great to see him just on the practice field working, right? And he just keeps working, doing what he has to do. We know he can help our team.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that is the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he speaks to the media ahead of the first game of the year. Anything jump out to you, Clint? He said a lot there. Anything out in your mind?
Two different occasions, he spoke about this isn't a rinse and repeat. In response to questions about the success that his defense has had against Josh Allen, two different times. I love the way that he played it down. No, this is not a rinse and repeat type situation. Anything goes. It's a whole different team. And not that I would expect any coach, much less a great coach like DeMeco, to understand this isn't rinse and repeat. But especially
when you're dealing with the guys that they have over there.
But I do it as a fan. I feel better hearing from the head coach that, hey, I'm not ignoring the elephant in the room. We've had unbelievable success against arguably the best quarterback in football the last two times we've played him, right? And it would be one thing to ride that momentum, ride that wave. It'd be another thing to just coach as usual. How about How about we actually acknowledge that, hey, man, don't take that bait. Don't take that bait. That's one of the greatest that the game has to offer right there. The last thing you want to do is think that it's that easy and you can just go kind of go through the motions and that's the kind of success that you have. This guy's a different animal. So to me, it was good to hear him on two different occasions, you know, bring that up or allude to that. That part of their plan seems to be pretty prominent.
Yeah, and with D'Amico, it doesn't sound like just coach speak. It's legit. It feels like that is something that they've been peppered with all off season with, I know we're a great defense, what we're striving to, but don't think you just got Josh Allen's number.
Yeah. That's scary. Even though you do. You know, don't think that, because there's more in that tank. I think the other thing too, for me, Ron, is you know, the last two times that the Texans played the Buffalo Bills, Ed Oliver wasn't there. Acknowledging that is a big disruptive force in the middle of that defensive line that we didn't have to deal with over the last two times. And if you remember two games ago where he only completed 9 passes in the entire game, they were without Shakir. I mean, their leading receiver was old buddy that Keon Coleman.
Kincaid didn't play last year.
Yeah, so they've had some key players out in those games, along with Josh playing terrible. So alluding to that, and then on the flip side of that injury piece, us having all of our guys back, Clowney, the linebackers.
Was at practice today, yep.
Yeah, to have those guys back healthy, Brevin Jordan. You know, that gamble comes to fruition and he's going to be at practice. So, or was at practice. That's a big note there from D'Amico.
All right. Before we drink a little Coors here, got a little, stock up, stock down as we do on a Wednesday. Texans going into the Bills game, stock up, stock down. We'll do that next.
The arrow's pointed up.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right, and if you're new to this thing, it's a regular occurrence here on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Every Wednesday, every hump day, right around this time, we do some stock talk, a different flavor each week, but football has returned. It's on its way. It's this week. It's here. NFL action tonight. Your Texans in action on Sunday as they host the Buffalo Bills, and that is exactly what we're going to discuss during stock talk today here on The Drive. And I want to get started with you, Ron, the show, Hughley, for a Texans-Bills Week 1 edition of Stock Up, Stock Down. Let's go stock down in your view, Ron, the show.
Yeah, usually, Tyler, and like Tyler said, if you're just joining us, it's usually us reacting off the previous game and the week. Well, now we're going into the game, and I'm thinking of stock downs for the game. And Clint, Tyler, my stock down is to Nico Collins. And it is just simply because it feels like the Bills are going to be hell-bent, just with everything else that's out on the field, hell-bent on, well, we're just not going to let him beat us. Like, even and with less fear to be able to do so, we'll see how up to speed Kayshon Boutte is,
Get it right now. From 2 to 6 p.m. at least, he is Boutte.
Until he tells us different. And I'm serious. We get our hands on him. We're going to ask him: is it Boutte? Is it Boutte? Or is it something else? And I want the pronunciation.
It's easy. What do they call you, Daddy, in New Iberia?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Haitian.
But
that's right. Yeah.
That's right. But I think Nico is going to see double teams. Them just hell bent on saying we're not going to let him beat us until somebody else shows us that we've got to stop. And based off last year, hopefully there's some changes, but based off last year, the Texans don't mind going the other way, not really forcing it his way. So with the injuries, the newness of Kayshon Boutte, Noel not playing a lot here lately, and I think Xavier Hutchinson probably being a guy seeing a lot, and they'll probably take their chances with leaving him. I think Nico Collins is going to he's going to see a lot of guys in his face, multiple defenders trying to stop him.
Yeah, I got to believe that they better their chances of beating the Texans if they can keep Nico Collins out of the box score. If they can keep him from catching two or three of those cut, split, glance routes, you know, if they can keep in critical situations, then they're probably going to be able to get off the field. So, Nico Collins, that's one that's damn sure going to get some attention.
He's going to be seeing a lot of people in front of him and then somebody else right there behind him.
Big Nico going to get locked down. That's Ron's concern on stock down for this Texans matchup week one against the Bills. We are talking Texans Bills coming up Sunday. It has arrived. Clint Sterner, for you, what is stock down for this Texans Bills matchup?
Yeah, mine is a stock that's already plummeted, and he's made this list for me, I think, 2 weeks in a row, if not two out of the last three weeks. I'm sorry, y'all. I know it's redundant, but Wyatt Teller. This is real stuff. I think this organization right now, they'll tell you about the great depth. And I think they do have better depth. But when it comes to Wyatt Teller, I think a lot of it is a safe face. I think they'd be scared out of their minds if he had to play. I think
they go in a different direction.
Yeah, I do too. But if he has to get on the field against Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, what's Big Boy's name in Cleveland, Ron? What's Big Boy's name in Cleveland now, defensive lineman?
I'm not
in Cleveland, in Cincinnati.
Sexy Dexter.
Yeah, Dexter Lawrence. When he has to face those kind of guys, he would be eight alive. And so I got to give Wyatt Teller my stock down, boys, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, there's your stock downs. I like to get the negatives out of the way. You'll come to find
you
that
tend
if you're
to do that.
Yeah.
Just kick them in the nuts.
Yeah, I'm a creature of habit. I like getting the bad stuff out of the way. You are tuned in to The Drive with Sterner, Hughley, myself, Tyler Milner, riding with you on a Wednesday here at 95.7 The Fan. Talking week one, Texans, Bills, stock up, stock down. Now that the negatives are done with, it's time for stock up. Back to you on the show. Stock up in week one in Houston.
Yeah, my stock up is for Danielle Hunter. I listened to, just like you all just did, and Clint brought it up, about the success that the Texans defense has had, and D'Amico's not, hey, that was last year, that was the last 2 years. Well, I can assure you that that's not what Joe Brady's thinking. Joe Brady is thinking, I remember what these jokers did to me. And in particular, hell, you can almost say this guy was an all-pro on Thursday Night Football in the front of the world because of what Will Anderson did to the Bills' offensive line and Josh Allen. Will Anderson, 2.5 sacks, multiple tackles for loss, and nine quarterback pressures on Josh Allen. I got to believe Joe Brady and the Buffalo Bills are – He is the number one player that they are watching game plan wise, and even more than they have in the past. They've really got to say, okay, we're not going to let him just ruin the game. Well, the only problem is that joker on the other side, he's going to make you ruin the game too. And if there are less chips, less help over there on 79, because Spencer Brown, I believe, had to tap out last year also against 55. I think Danielle Hunter, his stock is up, potentially have a big game with a lot of eyes on Will Anderson for Buffalo.
And back to you, Mr. Clint Sterner, our former NFL quarterback here at 95.7 The Fan. Give these Texans fans something positive to look for in week one. Texans, Bills, stock up for you, Clint.
Stock up is Xavier Hutchinson, wide receiver. Looks like he's going to be a starter.
That's my pick for breakout player for the offense.
Yeah, looks like he's going to be a starter in that slot role. We've seen him obviously execute multiple roles, so I do believe he stays in as a depth player when Jalen Noel comes on the field or when they use multiple tight ends. If Xavier Hutchinson, if Boutte or Nico Collins are in a rest period or aren't on the field, I believe the next guy up every single time is going to be Xavier Hutchinson. So not only is he a starter at the slot position, but he appears to have really good chemistry with C.J. Stroud and a great relationship, and he is a playmaker. And He is the first in line behind both of your outside receivers to get that run as well. So I don't think Xavier Hutchinson's stock has ever been higher right now taking on that starter role.
That is absolutely right. Hell yeah. Especially with Bootie, as you're saying, getting up to speed. Hell yeah, he may be receiver number two right now. All right, that is Stock Up, Stock Down every single Wednesday. Coming up, we will hear from Robert Flores, MLB Network. All right, what's up with the Astros? How big a chance does he believe the Astros have at making a real run? And what's going on with Yordan Alvarez? We'll talk to Roflo coming up next. How you doing, Roflo?
I'm good. I started my happy hour about 3 hours ago. I'm faded as hell right now.
Faded as hell. Robert Flores.
Come on. Lock in, H-Town. From the clubhouse to the front office, nobody knows the Astros like a hometown guy now found in the national spotlight.
Some people need to get those verbal hands every now and then. In fact, more often than not.
We're talking Stros with Roflo.
I'm athletic enough.
Live on the Drive.
Damn, Roflo, you done got an open. How about that? Legendary.
What? That's crazy.
Damn. You didn't got it open. The big voice guy got it open for Roflo. This is for real now.
I don't know. The production team is fire.
There we
crazy.
Go.
FM now. Big time, baby.
Yeah, FM, baby.
I know. Big time. Now, I thought my Venmo is looking a little light now with the open. I was just wondering maybe... You know, a little do-re-me, but hey, that's, I guess, you know, we'll move on and discuss that at a later date. But we're off to a great start.
Yeah, check that Cash App. All right. Robert.
Check that Zelle, too, while you're at it.
Yeah, keep checking them. Robert Flores, MLB Network, joins us. By the way, guys, Roflo and his MLB Central crew, Mark DeRosa, Lauren Shahadi, they'll be out in New York, City Field, where the Mets play on Friday, 9 a.m. Central, as Major League Baseball commemorates the 25-year anniversary of the tragic events of September 11th. MLB Network also has a new documentary out called When America Took the Field, debuting tomorrow, 9 a.m. Central, that looks back at the role that baseball played to help the nation to get over September 11th. So we are glad to have you in, and we are glad to have you in with the Astros starting to make a move, and and they find themselves in first place in the AL West, coming up with a huge. Last night felt like playoff baseball to me, especially the late innings and the Houdini act that they had to get out of the seventh, eighth, and ninth. But overall, Roflo, do you believe, looking at the field, do you believe the Astros have a real chance to make a run in the postseason?
Well, I think it depends on, I think there's levels to it, right? I think that because the American League is open, I think I would put the Rays for the Astros see later in the week. I think I right now, that would be my favorite. To come out of the American League. The Yankees close behind, although we don't know what Aaron Judge is going to look like in a month. So I think that the Astros have shown, particularly when you look at their record against 500 teams, that more often than not, they can play with and have had good success against teams above 500. But they clearly have some areas that need to be addressed and need to be shored up. And clearly we have about 3 weeks left before the postseason begins. But I was very impressed with what I saw from this group last night. And you know, a few weeks ago, their worst loss of the season, in my opinion, was when they blew a 5-0 lead. I think it was to the A's on that Sunday home game. I thought that was the worst loss of the year. I thought the best win of the year may have come last night. Because they've got to deal with Christopher Sanchez tonight, Zach Wheeler tomorrow. So getting that win last night against Andrew Painter, that was paramount considering what they have facing them this week and also who's chasing them. Of course, that's the Texas Rangers.
Roflo, you mentioned that a lot has to be filled here and figured out for Houston going down the stretch. Two things that are currently, I mean, big positives for the Astros, but I don't know that we know what to expect the rest of the way. And Wisniewski, as well as Peter Lambert. I mean, those two people. Mm-hmm. We go nowhere without those two at this point. Following up behind Hunter Brown. What's your thoughts on those two guys in particular? Are they going to run out of gas? Or they? You feel confident that they're just two guys that got to try a little harder, but the production's going to be there?
I think Wisniewski's going to be okay. I worry about Peter Lambert a little bit. He's obviously, if he's not on E, then that gas tank is between a quarter, that needle is between quarter tank and E right now. But you're right. He has been the Astros' most consistent starter. And it's remarkable considering what his career was in Denver with the Rockies. And also considering he didn't even make the big league club coming out of spring training. He started the year in the minors. And now fast forward, here we are with basically less than a month left in the season, and he's been their most consistent starter. At the same time, I don't know where this club would be without Hayden Wisniewski. He's a Houston area kid. He has made 8 starts since, returning from Tommy John, and the Astros are 7-1 in those starts. So he has been everything, and I'm going to be interested to see what Hunter Brown looks like tonight. It looks like maybe he's starting to turn a corner, and if that is indeed the case, that is a huge step for this club moving forward.
Robert Flores, MLB Network, joins us. You can catch him each and every morning, Monday through Friday, on MLB Central on MLB Network. Hey, Roflo, I look at the numbers, especially since August 1st, and we had a conversation about this. I feel stupid because the numbers are still, Martin Maldonado would pay good money to have a month the slash line of Yordan Alvarez. But it seems like he's off. What's going on with Yordan?
Well, I think not only does it seem like that to you, but as of a couple of weeks ago, it seemed that way to Yordan Alvarez. I had a chance to interview Yordan. I had, arranged it through Astros Media Relations, and shout out to them for helping make that happen. Because, one, I just rarely see Yordan do interviews, so I was eager to chat with him, and we had a set time. But, he was about a half hour, 40 minutes late, and bless his heart, he was hitting out on the field. He was doing extra cage work. He was doing batting practice on the field there at Citi Field when they were getting ready to play the Mets. And I'm told that that's something he rarely does. So he's searching a little bit. But that being said, it's all about perspective, right? I think it's the alarm bells go off a little bit because of what his season was like prior to August. So I am a half glass empty kind of guy. I am the most pessimistic person there is. But I think this little maybe blip in the radar might be good for Yordan, and maybe if the Astros are fortunate enough to get to the postseason, maybe he catches fire again.
Is this affecting his chances at the MVP at all, you think?
I don't think the MVP, but it's obviously affecting the Triple Crown chase. I know that Junior Caminero passed him in homers. I believe, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think Pete Alonso has also jumped him in RBIs as well. But look, we know all it takes for a hitter like Yordan is either a little jam shot the other way, a rocket the other way, or a 450 moonshot.
Maybe not.
All right. Well.
Lose him?
I think we maybe lost Earl Flo there. All right.
Right on time.
Right. There we go. Robert Flores.
Hello.
There he is. There you go. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
There he is. No, I was just going to say, I think it's not going to take much for Yordan to get back. I think it just takes one at bat, one at one game, and he will be right back to where he was. Now, is it going to be too late for the Triple Crown? I don't know, but I think he still wins the MVP.
Hey, Roflo, I want to remind everybody out there, MLB Network has a new documentary out called When America Took the Field, debuting tomorrow at 9 p.m. Central. It looks back at baseball's role in helping heal the nation after 9/11, obviously. Where were you and when that happened, and what is the kind of tell us a little bit more about the documentary.
Well, the documentary takes a look back at baseball's role in the nation healing after the events of 9/11. I was working in Austin in 2001, and you know, it is something that is for those of your listeners that were not around then. It was just the most horrific, remarkable scenes you ever saw, and those images will never leave your brain. And you know, Clint, I'm sure you had the same thought. No, and you too, show no matter where you were, the feeling of patriotism and togetherness that we all shared after those horrific events. And I'm struck by how we are 25 years later. And no matter what side you are, I think it's a disservice to those that were lost that day and also those that died as a result of 9/11 related illnesses that we are the way we are right now. And I would hope that, you know, all of us, myself included, could kind of remember and hearken back to that time and the spirit of togetherness we shared. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure we're capable of that. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, all we can do and all you guys can do is what you're doing, right? I mean, you put the documentary together, you put it out, you allow the younger generation to see it and those that so quickly forget to see it. And who knows if it doesn't start a wave of change and never know, man. But good for you guys for putting that thing out there, man. That's big time.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's excellent. And look, I know there's a lot of competition this time of year in primetime. So I urge people to set your DVR right now or when you get home or wherever you're at, but set it for tomorrow, 9 p.m. Houston time. It's on MLB Network. It is excellent. It's a 2-hour documentary, and it's a job well done.
Roflo, we appreciate you, man. We'll get that Venmo account. We'll get that updated for you in the next break, brother. We greatly appreciate you, as always, man.
You got it, guys. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for having me.
All right, Robert and MLB Central crew will be out at the Met City Field this Friday at 9 a.m. Central as MLB commemorates the 25-year anniversary of the tragic events of September the 11th. Make sure you plug in. That is going to be absolutely awesome to watch those guys commemorate that awful day. Dirty's Daily's next. Dirty's Daily is next, and CJ Stroud from the podium. Game week. It's happening, y'all, right here on 95.7 The Fan.
All right, we're going to hear CJ here in a bit.